Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to these three hilarious comedians, all based out of Virginia. Based out of Spotsylvania, Leslie Robb is a clean comedian, motivational speaker, actress, talk show host, MC, and most recently, a voice actress in the cartoon Benny the Barnacle. She's also an author and has illustrated a children's book. Based out of Portsmouth, Lamont Burke Ferguson is a comedian, actor, and writer. He's open for national acts such as Charlie Murphy, Jordan Rock, and Shantae Wayans. He runs his own comedy showcase in Norfolk and has entertained our military troops. Based out of Petersburg, Wendy Lee is also known as Quiet Storm. She quickly became a household name with her quick wit and eccentric humor, depicting a number of relatable church characters while performing regularly for churches in her area. She's performed at Hopewell's Historic Beacon Theater, Richmond's Funny Bone, Kazi's Comedy Club, Franklin's Main Event, and many more fundraisers, women's conferences, parties, concerts, music venues, reunions, and celebrations. She's been an on-air personality for a gospel radio station and is an author of the book entitled Poor. Welcome to the show, Leslie, Lamont, and Wendy. It's great to have you all on here today.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The funny people have arrived. And that's your party time indeed.
Party time.
Comedians are the funnest people I know, and I think so unique and interesting. And one of the most unique and interesting things about them is how they got their start in comedy. So I would really like to start with that story from each of you. Leslie, can we begin with you? And can you tell us how you got started?
Well, I literally have always been labeled the silly kid growing up. But honestly, being silly was more of a cover up for all the trauma and things that I dealt with growing up. And so silly and comedy and being fun basically was the one thing that kind of made me feel accepted and included when I could be. And so it became that. And then once I got older, God just reminded me that, hey, I had you be silly for a reason. And he started to use that and created my comedy ministry. And so now I choose to bring joy to people. But what's funny is when people ask me, like, so how did you, where did all the funny come from and all this joy you have? I was like, from a very dark place. So, yeah. So, yeah.
I really, you know, I did not know that about you, Leslie. And I am I am a complex trauma survivor myself. Mm-hmm. And been in therapy for about 2 years now. And that's one of the first things that my therapist recognized is that from an early age, using humor as a coping mechanism. So mm-hmm. we have a lot more in common than I thought. So I'm going to be looking forward to our developing of our relationship because it sounds like we might have some similar experiences or at least experiences where we can relate to one another. So that's
for sure.
That's cool. How about you, Lamont?
Well, it all started when no.
Bringing that energy back up. I love it.
It all started. Well, being the shortest kid on the block, you have to, I used to get bullied on my block. And in order to stop getting bullied, you got to make people laugh in Detroit. Mm. So, you know, just bringing humor, you know, making crack of jokes and so people won't, you know, push you down on the ground and stuff like that. I just always had the, I've always watched comedy, studied comedy since I was little. And then just watching like Def Jam, different levels of comedy, Bill Cosby. Well, I didn't do what Bill Cosby did, but I listened to Bill Cosby.
That's good. That's good,
Lamar. Rand Skelton, all kind of older comedians, Jay Leno, stuff like that. And just listen to those guys, Carson and then one of my favorites, I like one-liners, Stephen Wright. And I just wanted to be like those guys and be funny. And that's how I really, you know, kind of got out there. My first time on stage was at a talent show in Detroit, which is at All Jokes Aside is a comedy club. And I did a lot of hacky stuff and it didn't go over right because I was just cop mimicking what I heard on television. Mm. But I still had the book, so I just continued doing it. And then about 8 years ago, I took it more serious. I took it seriously and focused on it more because, you know, my background is more, you know, production and acting. So about 8 years ago, I talked to quite a few people and they just like, just, you know, get back on stage. That's how you get started again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I did.
I like that. I like that. How about you, Wendy? How'd you get started?
No, I'm just playing.
Wendy, you're on a podcast, okay?
Oh, this is what we're doing. Oh, okay. Well, with me, I guess my story is a little bit different. Actually, I never aspired to be a comedian. Felt like Lamont. I didn't grow up being funny like Leslie. It's just something I happened into because I was very shy and quiet as a child and as a teenager, even as a young adult. And what happened with me is definitely the church girl. Okay. And so I went to church talent show one night and just to support the talent show. And when I got there, the preacher actually kept announcing that they needed more participants in the comedy show, in the talent show. And by the time he announced it the third time, I was like, okay, what can I do? I want to participate, you know, I want to help out. And here's a secret, don't tell anybody, but at the time I had a host of talents. I sung a little bit, I was on a dance ministry at the church, and also write poetry. But all of those had been presented that night. And it popped in my mind, I said, I want to do something different. I want to do something that hasn't been seen yet. And it just popped in my mind, I can say it was the Holy Spirit, to tell some jokes. And so I just remembered every little goofy thing. I didn't write anything that night because I didn't know how to write, but I just got up there and shared every clean, appropriate, church appropriate thing that I remember from high school and from college. And when I went back to my seat, the pastor called me back up and he prayed over me and he said, I see God taking you places. You have an awesome gift. I see God putting you before great men. And he said, I want to be the first one to sow into your ministry. And they took up an offering for me that night at the talent show at a church I was visiting, just came to support it. And so they invited me back the following year to host the talent show. I said, I know nothing about hosting. And so the pastor gave me some pointers on hosting. And so what I did, I decided to visit the church a few weeks before the talent show. And so what I did, I just dressed up like some of the church members and mimicked what they did in worship service. And they absolutely loved it. And it was from there, people started asking me for my business card. I said, I'm not in business. I'm not a comedian. I'm just having fun. And so they said, well, will you come to my church and do what you did tonight? And I said, sure. And I went there and it was a domino effect. The same thing happened. May I have your business card? I'm not in business. I'm not a comedian. I'm just having fun. And it was for about 7 years I did that. Just having fun. And then at year number 7 is where I was invited to a Christian comedian conference. And then that's where I declared myself a comedian because I felt like I had found my tribe because of a bunch of people who love God and act silly like me. And so there you have it. The rest is history.
That is a unique story if I've ever heard one. They're all unique and wonderful, just like each and every one of you. That is really amazing. All of you have just such diverse backgrounds and what you do by day. Like Leslie, you are a teacher. You've been teaching for 15 years. What is it that you teach and how have your experiences educating our youth influenced any of your comedy material?
Well, I teach high school. I teach family and consumer sciences, which used to be called home ec, but then all of a sudden it's not politically correct anymore. Shocker. And so now it's called family and consumer sciences. Try to say that 5 times in a row. It's literally by the time I finish saying what it is, I have to then explain what it is because nobody knows what I'm saying. So I end up saying it's home ec. So it's a different a different spin, I guess you could say, on home ec. So we basically teach adulting 101 to kids. at the high school level. Even though I'm certified to teach middle school, yeah, I don't do that no more. I did that for like 1 year and I was like, yeah, nah. No, middle school is definitely not for me. So I teach high school, and let's just say, like, I used to teach also kindergarten, and so a mix of all of that, teaching all those grade levels, I have a host of material, a lot and lots of material. So and so, yes, just finding the funny in every day and figuring out how to spin it literally for the stage is literally doesn't it's not hard.
I know our own life experiences give us lots of fuel for comedy, don't they?
Yeah. It literally, like people say, they're like, how do you come up with this stuff? I was like, it literally is my life. So,
right. Yeah, right. It writes itself. You know, mm-hmm. It really does. Life writes itself for our material. Lamont, now you are not a Virginia native. You were born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. You even mentioned a little bit about that in your comedy story and how you got started in comedy. So what brought you here to our state? How did you end up here? We're lucky, but how did you get here?
Well, what happened was my mom said, get up out of here. You can't stay here. No. No. Liberty University is what brought me down here. I wanted to go to school, college. I actually wanted to go to NYU for film. It was way too expensive. And Liberty had offered me like a writing scholarship. Just a little money. I was like, something's better than nothing. And that's how I came down here. And then I took up my undergrad is mass communications, radio and TV broadcast. So I did, you know, while I was there, I wrote plays, did sketch comedy, acted in quite a few plays and stuff like that. So that's what brought me. Yeah.
What year were you there? I went to
Listen, now you're gonna talk about my age. See, that wasn't a question. The age wasn't my question.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if we were there together. That's funny.
No, I'm just playing. Probably not. I graduated in 97. You wouldn't know.
You know, it's so funny, laughers. We're on a Zoom call right now, and so you're only going to be able to hear this, but if you could just see the bug eyes that just came out of Leslie when he said 97.
Yeah, I was in middle school.
Yeah. That's pre-Y2K.
Yeah, for sure. I was definitely in middle school. So I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's all good. Yeah. So that's what brought me down here. So.
Okay. And did you meet your wife at Liberty or?
Well, I met her here in the Portsmouth area. Okay. So once I graduated, I had a lot of friends that lived in this area. So during school, I would come back and forth and visit the area. And I was like, yo, this is a lot safer than Detroit. So I moved to a smaller town called Portsmouth. And that lets you know how my decision-making skills are. I went from a big city to a little city and that claims a lot of violence, but it's okay. But anyway.
Pales in comparison, I think.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Per capita. That's a whole nother. But however, I met her at, I used to work at Circuit City, and her sister came in, and my coworker was like, can you help the ladies up front? And I was actually about to go on my break. And then I went front to help them with a cell phone. I was like, I'm glad I came to help you. And since then, she's been around me. So she's been in my life since then.
Did you get that customer's number right then and there?
See, what happened was I got her pager.
Pager.
I was fraternizing on a job before fraternizing was popular. You know what I'm saying? I was fast in the customers.
I think it worked. Yeah. It worked.
Trying to get my sales up. I try to get my sales up.
You've been married how long now, Lamont?
19 years.
And I know
they say it's cheaper to keep us. So you know what I'm saying. So next year, each year we try to renew our contract. So I'll sit down and we'll renew our contract next year. We'll be 20. So.
That's awesome.
20 and three girls.
That's what I was going to ask next. And what is your lovely wife's name?
Cynthia Ferguson.
Yes. That's right. I know Cynthia. She's lovely. I love Cynthia. Yeah. 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 Thanks for that. Hey, Wendy.
Hey.
I got a question for you. I'm so excited to ask this because really, I don't know and I need to know. How in the world did you get the nickname Quiet Storm?
Whoa.
And what does it mean?
Ooh, what does it mean? I thought it was self-explanatory. But it's funny, I don't even get asked that question very often. So I'm glad that you asked the question because I don't get to talk about it. I always got to bring it up myself. So Quiet Storm is actually, it's sort of an oxymoron, but it's a part of my testimony as well, because I'm very timid and shy. And even sometimes now I still revert to my shy ways. People don't believe it because I'm on stage doing comedy, but people don't recognize it if they observe me in a crowd of people. I'm actually quiet. And it's funny, the name Quiet Storm actually was given to me at that very first Christian Comedian Conference I went to, because
what?
I when I got there to that conference, it was about 30 or 40 different Christian comedians, you know, who were already established. And even though I had been doing it for 7 years, pretty much I had maybe two or three engagements per year during that 7 year period when I was just having fun, quote unquote. And so when these people, they had their promo packs, they had been on BET Comic View, they were on TV doing commercials. I mean, they were professional, had DVDs and all this carrying on. And here I am with my little homemade business card that I made at work on construction paper. And so, I felt really small. I felt really small in the midst of all these professionals. And so I withdrew. I went back to my shy ways and I was just withdrawn. And even though, but I was paying attention and I was absorbing the information at the conference. And so they had at the, because it was a 3 day conference, and the last day they had a part called Test Your Talent, where you got to, where the rookie comedians got to get before the veterans and do, I think it was 2 or 3 minutes of comedy, and they got critiqued. And so I said, oh no, I was determined. I'm not going up there. I'm not going to say a thing. I'm just going to watch and observe. But in my quietness, people noticed. Everybody turned around and said, everybody gone up? And then people turned around and said, well, she hasn't gone. And so, and I didn't want to do it, but they encouraged me to get up there and do it. And so when I did my comedy, they were impressed. And it's funny, when they looked around and said, well, you know, she ain't gone up yet. Somebody said, well, we don't even believe she's a comedian because she ain't said nothing all weekend. And so what I would like to say, when I went up there and did my little 2-3 minutes, they were actually shocked. They were shocked, number one, because I had been tired. I had been quiet all weekend. Then they were shocked, number two, but I did okay. You know, I did really well. And then at the end of that, they asked, it was a panel discussion, and the question came up, do we use our given name or do we come up with a stage name? And so it was like three of us who wanted a stage name. And of course, I got up there because they said to get your stage name from either something visual or something visually awkward about you, or visually, you know, blatant about you, or something about your personality. So, of course, you know, I'm like 5'8" and weigh 30 pounds. So the first they joked on my size, wanted to call me string bean and pencil and all that. They didn't want to joke on me coming from the country. And then they actually worked some things. And then they said, well, you know, she's very quiet, but she does very well on stage. And so they kind of work with that. And somebody said Quiet Storm. I said, I love it. So wow. Quiet Storm has to do with my nature is quiet. People don't believe me, but the folks who hang around me, they know that I'm really quiet. And then I'm a storm on stage. And I'm also a storm when you get mad. Don't make me mad. Don't make me mad.
Yeah, you're coming out guns blazing on stage, just shocking people. That's awesome. I love that. I love that name. Now I want to say it all the time. That's where I'm at with that. Hey, Leslie, I got a question for you. Leslie, this voice actor gig for the cartoon Benny the Barnacle, how in the world did you get that? Can you tell us about that experience and how people can see it?
Well, I got connected with Kevin and Kristen Collier. They're the ones who run the Creative Motion Network on Roku Channel, and they are producing a new movie, a new cartoon, Christian cartoon called Benny the Barnacle, that they are going, we're in production right now. So it'll actually be out in 2022. We don't know exact dates and stuff like that, release dates yet. But once it comes out, the IMDb IMDb. I always confuse those letters. The IMDb, the listing for Benny the Barnacle is on there. So if you will go to IMDb.com and then look up Benny the Barnacle, once it is released and the way that you can watch it will be on there. But yeah, it literally was like okay. It just so happens. They asked me and I was like, all right, sure. Whatever.
What's your character on the cartoon?
I am a sea snail. I'm a gossiping sea snail.
That's great.
Yes. It was fun. I like the voice acting thing. I didn't think I'd ever do that, but it was fun.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I love that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that's so cool. I've done a little voice acting myself, you know, and so
yeah.
I can really appreciate that. That's and one cartoon kind too. That's fun.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, it's fun. Lamont, I have a question for you now. All right. So you have taken or been on stages where you've opened up for national acts like Charlie Murphy, Jordan Rock, and Shantae Wayans. Mm-hmm. What about those experiences really stand out to you? Did those comics teach you something you didn't know before, something that surprised you or positively impacted your career as a comic today?
Just to be able to open up with those guys and be able to get information about the industry, it's pretty dope in itself. Anytime I come in contact with individuals of that level, I always ask questions because we don't know it all. And we think we know it all sometimes. Yeah, I think I got it. But actually, Charlie Murphy, very down-to-earth guy, pretty wild. He's pretty wild. But however, pretty down-to-earth guy. I ended up reading his book, autobiography. And it just took me to another level because it talks about, and he told me about it as well, how he took his stardom for granted by getting on stage, thinking because I'm, Eddie Murphy's brother, I'm going to be naturally funny. People going to naturally like me. But however, when he first started doing comedy, he got booed quite a few times. And I believe it was in Cleveland. And he thought he was going to be able to walk on stage and just shoot off some jokes and people was going to laugh because he was Eddie Murphy's brother. And just to know that no matter what level you're on, you always got to never take it for granted. You still got to work hard. And so after he got booed, Donnell Rawlins, Ashy Larry, everybody knows that Ashy Larry, told him like, yo, you really need to take it seriously. And once they had that conversation, he actually took it serious. And it just showed me, I'm not an A-lister, but if I have a bad night, it's okay. It's not the end of the world because we all comedians have a bad night. And so, I've been booed once. I'm not going to lie. I've been booed once and I've learned from that lesson. So from then on, I've never been booed because I know how to handle the situation. And in that case, I actually was so pressed on going through my material that I wrote that, for that show, just going point for point. And I was just trying to get through it. But now I know, and that was about 2 years into the game. Now I know, like, if it's not working, if the crowd's not working with it, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing,
right,
I have to move my stuff around and make adjustments on the fly. And you have to be that way, because if you can't, it's going to be a long show for you.
I agree with that. Our best performances are when we really connect with the audience that came out that night. Mm-hmm. And there's a different energy and a different vibe. And no audience is the same, just like no person is the same. And as they call it, reading the room in our world. And that's a skill that you have to get on the stage to be able to be in that moment and learn how to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of my favorite quotes is actually from Jerry Seinfeld. He said pretty much, if you hired for an event, you're the entire entertainment for that evening. So no matter if you're doing a 5-minute set, a 10-minute set, a 3-minute set in between comedians, that whatever time you have, you are the entertainment for that moment. So take advantage of that moment and do the best that you can, because I've gotten gigs off of open mics. Because a lot of times people go to open mics and just say whatever because it's an open mic. But the guy is like, oh, I appreciate it. You know, he saw my professionalism and I got booked from an open mic and I was just working on material. So anytime I'm on stage, I just, you know, work it to the best of my ability. And I look at it as I'm the entertainment for that moment. So,
yeah, you never know who's going to be in the audience. You never know. They could have a big company and put on, you know, events all the time and be looking for entertainment. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You just never know who's in the audience. I believe in bringing your A game every time, you know, for not only for, you know, yourself, but for the audience. Like Jerry Seinfeld's right. As you're the entertainment for how many minutes you get on set. I love that on the stage. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so cool. Wendy, listen, got another question for you. Segueing into this, because I got to know what these characters that you do are all about. You've built quite a reputation depicting the relatable church characters. And one way that you've done that is with your hip hop Bible. What in the world is your hip hop Bible all about? And what is your favorite church character you depict and why?
Let me see which one I want to answer first. Okay, well, I'll do it in order. Okay, so my hip hop Bible is something I came up with actually after I performed at a church conference. I read the Bible a little piece, you know, since I'm a Christian, I figure it's nice to see what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian.
It does help.
Yes. And when I read, and I guess it's just the creative mind, when I read things, you know, I see things that's not actually on the page, or I see beyond what's written and what's on the page. And even when hearing conversations, you know, I hear other things that creative mind is going. And so it's just one day I was just reading the scriptures and I'm like, oh, let me see if I can translate this, you know, into modern day version. And I just did it just for myself. Yeah. And then I'm like, this might be funny on stage, because then, you know, a few days later, I was reading another scripture. I'm like, I can change this around. Then I'm, let me make this a thing, you know, and put in my set. And so that's what I did. I just came up with a few scriptures that almost every church person, you know, knows, or, you know, I guess the average crowd would know, and just decided to translate it into a modern day version and the hip hop. And so I decided to call it the hip hop version, because, you know, we have all this slang today and this King James version, you know, it's just like, mm-hmm. And even with the NIV version and the message version, woo wee, that make me feel like the bottom of a shoe. Lord have mercy. So I had to come up with something. That, you know, that speaks to us in our language, that, you know, this modern day language. And so that's what I did. And I'm actually working on, you know, a publication, making that a publication, you know, something, you know, monetize that. You know.
So, nice.
Yes. Oh, and then the other question was, my favorite church character. Well, I wouldn't call it a character. It's actually a real person. But it's a real situation that happened. And I love this because the crowd loves it. Where I talk about the deacon, the 70-year-old deacon that tried to holler at me. Because, you know, I'm single and, you know, single and trying to get plural. And and I told a joke about being single at this church one time, and this deacon who was 70 years old walked me to my car and, you know, and tried to ask for my phone number, tried to take me out on a date. 70 years old. And a lot of people on a podcast probably don't look at me and see how youthful looking I am. I'm almost with Lamont. Lamont, the oldest one on here. I'm almost with Lamont. I'm a few years behind Lamont. I'm not even 70. 70 is still older than my daddy. Let me just put it that way. 70 is older than what my daddy is. Digging, you know, try to take me out. So that's my favorite thing to talk about, is that deacon who tried to tried to talk to me that day. You know,
like, that's hilarious.
That's funny. That's funny.
That is funny. Yeah. He's still swinging, isn't he?
I don't know if he was swinging. You know, I hope he is, but I'm not going to try to find out.
You're trying to share that AARP card. I was trying to get them some discount.
Yeah, I forgot he probably got social security check coming
social
in.
Social security?
No, thank you. No.
You get you some free coffee at McDonald's on the senior citizen discount. I mean,
I need somebody to get all working parts that work on demand. I want my man like my cable on demand. I don't want to have to wait for anything. Wanted on demand.
Oh my gosh. I hope we get to see some of those characters. That'll be a lot of fun. Oh, okay. That's hilarious. All right. Next question for you guys. All of you are authors and writers outside of stand-up. Can each of you speak a little bit on what you've written about? Leslie, we'll start with you. You did you're an author and illustrated children's book. Can you tell us more about what you
did? So I wrote a book called, it's a devotional and health guide coloring book type of combo for women. It's called Buried to Bold, Buried by Weight, Resuscitated by Grace. And I go through talking about, like, you know, basically my backstory and what I've been through and all the trauma that came with that. And then it goes from there to talking about how, you know, being restored by God. And then that's where the devotional comes in. And I share some scriptures and things that have helped me along the way, and break it down into a devotional. And then from there, it goes into a health guide about how, what I did to kind of take control of my health. And then it finishes up with a coloring book, like one of the like Mind Matters or Mindful Matters, whatever coloring books, to kind of help people de-stress and relax and whatever. So it's a combination of that. As far as the children's book, like I when I was teaching kindergarten, I would design my own worksheets and coloring pages, and I would post them for teachers to use as their leisure, just to be nice, share. It's only fair. So I would share my creations on Instagram and Facebook and different things like that for other teachers to use. And apparently one teacher picked it up, and she was actually writing a children's book, and she wanted me to illustrate her pictures. So that's how that came about, is I illustrated the pictures to go with the children's book she wrote. So yeah.
I got a talent for drawing too, apparently.
Apparently.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yes.
My drawings won't get sold for anything.
I draw elaborate stick figures. That's what I do.
Yeah. My stick figures aren't even elaborate.
Well, I draw flies.
You draw what?
I draw flies. Yeah. A couple of days without a shower. I draw flies.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. You should totally be a comedian, Wendy. Totally.
That's hilarious.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. You guys are too fun. All right, Lamont, how about you? What are you writing about? You mentioned some writing you did at Liberty with plays and that type of thing. What kind of writer are you? What have you written?
I write plays, some skits that we do, as far as Fresh Option. I write movies. I have a film script that's been written for some time, trying to deal with that. I have some shows that I've written for our channel, which is called Fresh Option TV. The newest one is called The Cafe. It's actually the female version of Cheers. It leads with the men at the bar, but this particular show is about women. And they're at the cafe sharing their stories and their relationships and their experiences. So we're going to be releasing that here soon. Until Death Do Us Part is on Fresh Option Television as well. It was a play at first, and then I broke it up into a series. So I got four episodes. There are two episodes that's up on the channel now. So got a couple of projects that I converted from a novel to a feature film as well. So there's some heavy ties to that. I'm not going to say anything, but it's, yeah. Yeah. So when it dropped, we had some big connections to that as well. So
that's really cool. Fresh Option TV, people, our listeners may not be familiar with Fresh Option TV.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So how can they, yes, you're welcome. How can they connect Fresh Option TV?
Fresh Option can be downloaded for free on Roku television, as well as Amazon Fire Stick. So if you have a Roku TV and you have all those little icons, you can look for Fresh Option TV, and it's a free download. And that's how you can get that. Or if you have a Fire Stick from Amazon, you plug that into your television and you can download our channel for free. And my partner that runs that, his name is Ronald Lindsay. Big up to Ronald Lindsay. We've been business partners and friends for a long time. So we came about on this channel, and we're trying to work it out, you know. So the channel this December will be a year. So just learning the curve, trying to put content up there and things of that nature. That's what we're doing.
That's great. And laughers, we'll make sure in the show notes that we put a link to that. So some information about that, so you can look it up and check that out. And Wendy, you're an author too. You wrote a book entitled Poor. What is your book all about? Oh, she's showing us on Zoom right now. It's a beautiful cover, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Just going to say, yes, tell us about Poor.
Okay. I'm glad you asked the question. I wasn't prepared for that, but I just happened to have one right here. Well, actually, it's actually a collaboration that I did with 11 other people. Yes. And but I was honored enough to have the chapter number one. And Poor is actually the actual book is catered toward female entrepreneurs, and it's all female entrepreneur authors. So it's for female entrepreneurs by female entrepreneurs, but it's for men as well, because I had some of my men folks to purchase, and they got a whole lot of out of it. But my chapter is actually called Hold Vessels, Hold More Water. And it just speaks about my journey from emotional instability to where I am now. Still unstable, but I can hold myself up a little better than it was. But it just actually talks about the things I went through as far as, you know, low self-esteem, low self-worth, you know, and being very timid and shy. I mean, I wrestle a lot with the spirit of fear. And I just looking back, you know, as I was writing my chapter, that's where I realized that how being actually engulfed in all those things actually held me back a bit with pursuing opportunities. And there's a whole lot of things I turned down, you know, even as a comedian. But I believe that our personal lives actually spill over into every area, every arena of our lives. So what I was dealing with personal, you know, it's because I wasn't whole in my emotions, in my personal life. It actually affected my business, you know, my comedy business, because, you know, I wasn't fully present on stage, and I didn't go after things that I should have went after. And I just didn't feel the confidence, because when you have low self-esteem, you're struggling with low self-esteem, low self-worth, and battling with fear, the confidence is really lacking. And so now I show up a little bit differently, because going through all these healing processes and still in the midst, you know, you spoke about how you've been in therapy for 2 years. Me too. I'm teaching my therapist a whole lot. She's really learning a lot. And so that's what that is pretty much the essence of my chapter. So whole vessels hold more water, just meaning that being whole in emotions, that you can hold more water to pour into others. Pour into others. Let me specify, that's P-O-U-R, not P-O-O-R. For the people who are listening, they didn't see the book. P-O-U-R, pouring. Okay, that's. I hope I didn't spit on the screen. Okay.
I think you're good. I think you're good. So in that chapter, you kind of talk about how you're overcoming some of those obstacles.
Yes.
So, okay, that's great.
people don't believe that, again, herein, people don't believe that I suffer, you know, that I suffered from low self-esteem and that, you know, was quiet and lacking confidence, because they just see you on stage and they don't understand that's a persona, that's an act, you know. And even in comedy, it was plenty of times where I would go on stage, hold it together enough to tell these jokes. And then get and then on the way home under this dark cloud,
I mean,
hurting so much inside, and you make all these people laugh, and they don't think, I need somebody to pour into me. So, yes.
I agree with that. Lots of times, you know, we, as comedians, everybody has a lot going on. And so certainly comedians do too. And I can totally relate to that. When we started X2 Comedy, that same month, my baby brother was 32, had died of alcoholism.
Wow.
So that was, you know, the start of a lot of my career starting to, you know, really pick up at the same time all of that was happening. Was quite challenging, you know. But at the same time, I will say, when we do hold it together, I don't know about you if you guys feel this way, but being able to share the gift of laughter and walk away, even all that kind of internal storm is happening inside, I mean, those audiences have no idea how much their love and appreciation filled me up, and how much of a blessing they were to me to hear them laugh and enjoy comedy. And so I know it's a two-way street, you know, because they're all out in the audiences and they're going through stuff and they're struggling with some of those same issues. And then they can just take a break for however long they're at that comedy show and just feel almost like, hey, I'm not alone. Life's going to be okay. You know, right. Life's going to be okay. Right?
True. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we're not alone. And I do too. I mean, this is kind of a little bit a ministry moment, I guess, in ways, but a lot of us are struggle because life's not perfect. It's the, you know, human suffering experience. We're all going through it together, different degrees, you know, and a lot of us are shaped. All of us are really shaped by our childhood experiences from 0 to 18. And they can kind of, those thought patterns and cognitive distortions, we all have them, begin there. You know, so the beautiful thing is we can see therapists and we can heal ourselves and we can write chapters and pour into people and we can do drawings and wonderful things to bless people and other teachers with the gifts that we have and children's books, and we can write plays and flip the script and have women be the main characters and, you know, scripts and screenplays and things like that. So we're all in this together, people. We're all in this together. This right. thing called life, I say. Yeah, that's really cool. Now, this is, you guys are authors, but you're also stand-ups. And I wanted to transition into this question about what your comedy writing process looks like as a stand-up. Do you have an organized way of going about it? Are there a few different methods that you use? We'll start with you, Leslie. How do you write your comedy? Are you you write it verbally on stage? You have Word documents? What's it look like for you, Leslie?
Well, for me, literally, my life, like I said, is one big comedy show. I literally write down, like, I literally find the funny in everything. So, like, if I'm getting up that morning from something that happens in the house to, like, something at work to being in the car, every aspect, I look for the funny in everything. And then once I find something or something piques my interest, I first write it down, add it to my notes about my stage notes, or what I call my extra stage note. So I have like my set, and then I have a second note in my phone that is just like extra stage material, just to fluff here and there and add on. And so what I do is I'll write down those things that I found funny throughout the day to just add in throughout my comedy, just to continue to extend my time frame. And so literally finding the funny in like everything is how it works for me. And then I test out the material because, you know, believe it or not, obviously with everything with COVID and stuff, there's not been an opportunity to really test it out. So I test it out in conversation. So like, but I'm not one of those annoying people who's like, has to make everything funny. Like, I know how to balance it out. I can read the room. I ain't trying to like be overly funny, but what I try to do is just like, hey, if the opportunity presents itself, I'll say, share it. And if it gets a laugh at the table and everybody's like dying laughing, then okay, that's a keeper. If it doesn't, if it falls flat, okay, I may try it out one other time, but after that, it's got to go.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. How about you, Lamont? What's your process like?
My organization of writing is like the junk drawer in your kitchen. It's like I look it's like everywhere. I just take notes in my Google Docs. I got notebooks all over the place, papers where I jot down notes, and that's how anything I see or hear, I just jot it down immediately as soon as I can. And then just kind of put it together. And then the final set would be in bullet points. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. I think as comedians, I think we have the ability to find the funny, like Leslie said, and everything. Like, this is a simple example. We went to Taco Bell like the other night, 9 o'clock at night. We was about to order some tacos and have this call it a night. The guy at the Taco Bell literally said, "We're closed for the night because somebody purchased all the food." And I was like, "Wait, what?" They spent $75. Like, so $75 is wiped out your whole little catalog of food, whatever you want to call it. I mean, like, it's only $75. That was amazing to me. Then I thought about it. Weed is legal now. So that's probably why. So that's why they shut down.
Yes.
So I'm like, first of all, you didn't have to tell us that. You could have just said, hey, we closed for the moment. You didn't have to give us the backstory. Why? But however, so that right there, it wrote itself. So that's something that, you know, I write down, then maybe on stage, I will try it on stage.
Yeah.
And eventually try it out at a real show. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. How about you? How about you, Wendy? What's your process like, your writing process?
Well, I record everything. I got notes everywhere, on the back of envelopes, on the back of toilet paper, right in the bathroom. On the back of toilet paper, I write on napkins at the restaurant, write on receipts when I go to the store. The stuff is always coming through my mind. Then I record voice notes on my phone when I'm driving. And then I have all these notes, and I don't ever look back at them nowhere. But
you don't.
No, I was being funny. I was building up to something. But
okay.
But I'm glad you thought it was funny. I'm glad you thought it was funny. Yeah, but I will take something and record it. A lot of things happen, I guess, improv, you know, while on stage, you know, as well. I'm like, oh, that's funny. I'm going to use that for next time. I will take something and something that happens. Usually all my material comes from something that actually happens. And then I'm like, well, how can I work this into the set that I already have, you know, add it on, you know, to a series, you know, that I have already in my set, or find a way to bring it up, you know, to find a way to bring it up if it doesn't work, you know, in the set that I already have. Just create the moment, like Lamont was saying. Yeah, comedian will know how to actually create funny. And actually, I don't think that necessarily funny things have to happen. But, you know, as comedians, we make it funny. We can take something every day, and you know, it's just an occurrence that's not funny, and make it funny. Right. And that's the difference. I just want to add this. And I'm sure my other two, I forgot. All y'all can agree with this. All of you can agree with what I'm getting ready to say here.
Yeah.
Just because somebody says something funny, you can be in the midst of, and somebody says something funny who's not a comedian, then they will say, oh, Wendy, you got competition, or maybe this person can open up for you. Just because they said something funny. Oh, you're trying to be a comedian. But any great speaker knows how to tell a joke, or quote unquote repeat a joke. Every great speaker, the president, the State of the Union, it starts with something funny. Joel Osteen's, he always starts his messages with something funny. Anybody could tell a joke, but a comedian creates.
Yes.
So that's all I want to say that, because sometimes people bother me saying that. Oh, you gotta be a comedian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate
it. No, comedian creates funny. Not okay. Okay, I'm sorry. That's just called my soapbox. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think comedians have a real knack for finding the funny in just the everyday. You know, that's a good example of what I had there. It's true. Comedians are unique people. I'm curious with my next question, what your answers are going to be. Speaking of comedians, this question's going to all of you. If you could invite 5 comedians to a dinner party at your home, dead or alive, who would be seated at your table? Leslie, we'll start with you.
Okay. John Crist.
Ooh, yeah.
Trey Kennedy. Jerry Lewis.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know why they all white men. I just thought about that. But anyway, let's see. You said 2 more?
Yeah.
Big Daddy Laugh a Lot. If anybody don't know who he is, y'all gotta look him up.
Yeah.
Big Daddy Laugh a Lot. And man, the 5th one's hard. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd say Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, there you go. All right. Some female representation in there. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. How about you, Lamont?
Let me go down my line. No, I would have Dave Chappelle.
Nice.
Seinfeld.
Yes.
Stephen Wright.
Oh, nice.
Mitch Hedberg, which is not living, but he was hilarious.
Very good one-liner. Yeah.
And then I'll throw Michael Jr. in there. He's funny as well.
Oh, very I like that.
Funny guy. Yeah.
That's a fun table too. That's good. Mm-hmm. How about you, Wendy?
Well, first of all, I had to make sure everybody done had their vaccines or their COVID tests, you know, before I invite them to my house. After they have tested negative, they're welcome to come. I would welcome Sinbad, because that's something I always wanted. I wanted to sin very badly.
Yes! Oh, Sinbad.
Then we got Wanda Sykes.
Oh, yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg. And then, like Leslie said, Ellen, I love me some Ellen DeGeneres. And then Jackie Moms Mabley.
Oh, wow. That's a great table. I would like to be seated at any one of those tables. That's fabulous. I love those answers. They're great. Now, here's the next question. If you were stuck on a deserted island to survive with one of the people at that table, who would you pick and what one item would you insist that they bring? Leslie.
I would say, I would say of the people I mentioned, Big Daddy Laughs a Lot.
Oh, yeah.
And that he bring, could it be a person or does it have to be a thing?
I'm going to leave it up to you.
His daughter, who is awesome. I love her. I met his youngest daughter just recently at a show we did together, and she's awesome. So he had to bring his little girl.
Okay, that sounds great. Which I did see that same show that he was on. And he is hilarious. You are right about that.
So yes.
I get it. I see it. I'm totally with it.
Yeah, he's very hilarious.
You're very hilarious. How about you, Lamont?
I would have Dave Chappelle. And the item, since we're stuck on the island, a pen. So we can write jokes. So when I get out of the island, I will be much better than I am right now. I will write a whole bunch of jokes and get all that information from Dave.
Okay. That's good. That's taking advantage of the situation. I like that. Okay. Like where your head's at, Lamont.
I'll take notes on my clothes if we don't have nothing else to write on.
I was gonna ask that next, so you beat me to it. How about you, Wendy?
Well, you know, being the single person that I am, I would have to invite the man that's in my lineup. And And so that would be Sinbad. And I would have him to bring his divorce papers. So be free to do whatever. Amen. That is all.
So y'all can sin badly then.
Exactly.
It won't be sin badly because he's not married anymore, if that would be.
Right. So just be sin. It's just sin, not bad. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, as we wrap up here, can each of you share with our laughers how they can follow you on social media or otherwise? We'll start with you, Leslie.
Uh-oh. For me, I can be found on basically all major social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and then, of course, my website. So the thing is like on all of them, usually you can find me at Leslie Robb Comedy. However, on Facebook, it's Leslie Robbs with an S Comedy. I don't know why. Facebook tripping. Anyway, but if you forget all of them, the best way to find out all of them is leslierobb.com. Because it's all on there. So leslierobb.com and you got everything you need.
Love it. Love it. Lamont?
You could find me at 7-Eleven. No. like Leslie said, all major platforms, Facebook, Instagram. On Instagram, it's Comedy by Ferg. On Facebook, it's Lamont Ferg Ferguson. My channel, which is on Roku TV and Amazon Fire TV. My website is bergferguson.net. And you can find me on Grubhub. So if I'm in your area, I can make some deliveries to you, make a little money. That's pretty much it. And then, of course, freshoptiontv.com as well, where you can see all the information about what we have to offer.
Awesome. You're welcome. And Wendy?
Well, I can be found on all manner social media platform. This is major, but I'm going to say all the minor ones. Yeah. I'm on the
Facebook. Should I be Black Planet?
Yeah. That's the way I got my Christian only fans page. My Christian fans page.
ChristianMingle.com.
Under Wendy Lee, I'm on Facebook. I actually got two pages, my business page, Wendy Lee, and then it's Comedian Quiet Storm on Facebook, and on Instagram is comedian_QuietStorm. And the underscore is the little hyphen. Don't type in the word underscore. You have to say that because some people actually ask me, how do you spell underscore? So it's just the little line at the bottom. Amen. And then I'm on the tick of the top. I forgot my name on there, but just put in Wendy Lee. You'll find me. I got a website. I keep forgetting. I'm high class like Leslie Robb. I got a website. WendyLeeQuietStorm.com.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah. There it is.
I need to say that too. Thank you for reminding me, Wendy. I do have a TikTok page and it's I Am Ferg. So.
Okay, very good. Yeah, very good. Yes, and listeners, we'll be putting that in the show notes as well. So if you're driving and can't take those notes and need to follow up in any way, we'll make sure those are in the show notes. Well, thank you, Leslie, Lamont, and Wendy. This has been amazing. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be had, and I'm mad that I exfoliated and put the lipstick on and all this, and people can't see how cute I am. Okay. All right.
They can hear how cute you are. They can.
Yes, they can. And laughers, you can also see how cute she is because you can catch her and Lamont perform September 10th at One Tribe Farms' highly popular outdoor summer fun series, where we'll have fresh off the farm food, live music, and an X2 comedy show. Bring your tribe to One Tribe Farm. It's located in Mount Sydney, just 20 minutes south of Harrisonburg. Then on Saturday, September 11th, you can catch Lamont and Leslie perform at our one-of-a-kind comedy and kazumba event at Friendly City Dance Room. It's two parts dance lesson, two parts comedy show. You'll learn the partner dance kazumba, a form of dance originated from Africa, and laugh the night away. Buy your tickets today. We'll be sure to put that info in the show notes as well, and we will see you there. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See y'all later. I mean, I know we don't see y'all, but I mean,
y'all.
We'll see y'all at the show.
Watch y'all.
Bye, guys.
And girls. Oh, no. Bye, guys. You're right. Bye, guys. Hey, boo.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.